Good afternoon. Welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you could please find your seats and grab your songbooks. We're going to start out with song 198, Joy Unspeakable. 198. Let's sing it out together. Joy Unspeakable.
I have found His grace is abundant. He supplieth every need. While I sin and burn at Jesus' feet, I am yes, free indeed. In His joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. In His joy unspeakable and full of glory, oh, the half has never yet been told. I have found the
up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening's service. I pray that you'd bless it now to your honor and glory. Help us to sing out with love and understanding in our hearts as we worship your name. And please bless our pastor as he preaches to us this evening. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, for our second song, let's go to 260. He is able to deliver thee. 260. He is able to deliver thee.
'Tis the grandest theme through the ages long. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though my sin is the grandest theme for a mortal strength. 'Tis the grandest.
for coming to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you need a bulletin, you can lift up your hand nice and high, and our ushers can come by and get you guys a bulletin. On the front, we have the Bible memory passage, Psalm 59, we've been memorizing. If you can quote the entire passage, you can get a prize. Children 18 and under can quote it for ice cream in the midweek service. On the inside, we have our soul winning times, service times, church stats. I shared this morning about Evangelist Urbanic. He had like over 300 salvations just in the month of May alone over there. And so definitely very receptive, working very hard. And we really appreciate the work that he's doing and them going over there. Also on the right, we have the list of some expecting ladies, our prayer list. Also upcoming events, June 8th is the wedding at 3 p.m. Even if you aren't familiar with Brother Josh or Miss Cynthia, you're still welcome if you'd like to attend. It's at 3 p.m. Also, June 21st to the 23rd is the Red Hot Preaching Conference at one of our friends in Sacramento, California. On the back, we have several birth announcements. And also in the handout, we have the congratulations to the Naeem family on the birth of Charlotte Rebecca, born on the 27th, 5:22 p.m., 8 pounds, 1 ounce, 22 and a half inches long. We also have Micaiah Robert, born on the 27th, 10:12 p.m., weighing 7 pounds, 12 ounces, and 20 inches long. And then congratulations to the Cooper family on the birth of Esther May. She was born on the 30th at 3:40 a.m., 7 pounds, 10 ounces, and 20 inches long. Congratulations to all of them. Praise God for all of those babies. I meant to make an announcement this morning, and I just had forgotten, so I'll just go ahead and make it this evening. But I'd been asking for prayer for a lawsuit or trial proceeding that was supposed to happen on Monday. And unfortunately, that's not going to happen because the judge just like automatically ruled in the other side's favor. And so I don't know exactly what's going to happen as a result of that. No one really knows. It's still up in the air exactly how things are going to carry forward in the future. But most likely we'll try to do some kind of an appeal to that and go upwards. And I had said before that most likely, no matter what the outcome of this specific hearing was, both sides are probably going to appeal it anyways. So it is potentially a blessing in the sense that it could just fast forward things and we spend a little bit less money at this level because it probably didn't matter. But definitely still pray for that situation, because depending on how things kind of go in this next initial stage, could potentially cause like a financial burden on the church, just in the sense that if things don't really go the way we're expecting now, they could force us to pay some like large bond to try and appeal. And the thing is it's kind of one of those situations where I feel like the best analogy is it's almost like sitting at a train crossing and you've been sitting there for like 20 minutes. And you're kind of deciding, like, do I go around finally, or do I just keep sitting here? And the reality is, the amount of money that's kind of on the table as far as this litigation goes, if we were to pay a bond and appeal, like, all of that money is already lost in that situation. So by going through the appeal process, it doesn't change that at all. It just basically affords us an opportunity to potentially still win at a higher level. I don't know what to think, because our legal system doesn't seem the most sound right now, and I understand that. But at the same time, you know, really, mostly I've been continuing or pursuing it just frankly because our attorney has been working for us without me having to pay that legal bill, and he's really zealous for the case and wants to continue to pursue it. I do believe our attorney's saved, and he loves the Lord, and so, you know, it's kind of just working in tandem with him. Plus, it gives him an opportunity to potentially ever, you know, get paid on a lot of the work that he's done already. And he feels like it's his mission in life to help churches and like, church litigation. He's had 68 cases is what he's told me in the career of his life, that are specifically related to churches. And he's only lost one. And so he feels really it's his personal mission and role in life to kind of help and assist in that way. So I think it probably makes sense to go at least one more level and just kind of allow things to transpire however they see fit. But, you know, I can't promise anything. I have no idea what to expect. Obviously, from a true perspective or a legal perspective, I believe we're totally in the right, and in theory, we would totally win. I think most attorneys would even agree with that. It's just simply the fact that we don't really have much justice in this world, and considering the political pressure that's out there, a lot of people are afraid to rule consistently with law. But the only positive, I would say the biggest positive with our legal position is that it doesn't just affect us. It virtually affects every single business in the entire United States. And so, you know, that legal precedent is important, not for us, for everyone. And just because of that, I think that there is a glimmer of hope. Because if it was just like, we hate Steadfast, yeah, I'm pretty sure everybody would just be like, let's just throw them in the trash can. But considering the fact that our legal position is important for everyone, it makes sense that that would be important. And honestly, you know, when I first was going through this situation, what I was really worried about is the fact that not only us, but just all of our friends, and specifically whoever do any church plants, there's a high likelihood that we're going to still go rent properties in the future. You know, if we try to church plant somewhere, if we start somewhere else. And it would just be nice to know for sure, like, what is going to happen. So that if these situations happen again, or what's the best way to resolve them. And so in some ways, I feel like we may be the proverbial guinea pig. But at the end of the day, it would be nice to either have the Constitution upheld, or at least know, so that way we can prepare better and maybe other people don't necessarily go down the wrong road and we can be a bad example for them. So if you have any questions, honestly, I'm probably the only person you can ask that even kind of understands. And even at that rate, I don't understand everything perfectly because I'm not a lawyer, not really looking to get into that profession. So, but if you do have any questions, you want to know more about it, please just ask me about it, and I don't mind talking with you, you know, about it briefly. But it is pretty complicated, all of the legal things that are going on. So, but if you can, just pray. And I know that that works. I talked about this morning, the importance of praying. Just God knows how it's supposed to work out or what needs to happen. And so if we just pray and trust in the Lord, I believe that whatever ends up happening will be his will. So I did want to give that update. Continue to pray. And when we get down the road or whatever happens, I'll give another update as far as what's going on with our church. So that's pretty much all I have as far as announcements. We'll go ahead and sing our Psalm of the Week, Psalm 150. Psalm 150. After the sermon, they're going to be like, hey, Brother Dylan, will you explain that to me?
Psalm 150, let's sing it out together. Psalm 150.
Praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God the Father. Praise God the Son. Praise God the Holy Ghost. Praise God in three persons.
As the offering plates are being passed around, please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter number 17.
Acts chapter 17. The Bible reads, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had acknowledged that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus, for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, What will this babbler say? Others some, He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods. But he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We will hear thee again on this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysus the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this chapter in the Word of God. I pray that you would bless the message, bless Pastor Shelley as he preaches it. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to look back at verse number 10 here in the book of Acts. The Bible says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." So according to the Bible, there's an idea of being more noble than another person. You can be better than another person. And what makes you better is not only that you receive the word with all readiness of mind, but that you search the scriptures and you make sure that that's what the Bible's actually teaching. And kind of a phrase that I hear out there that kind of in my mind summarizes this concept is this idea of trust but verify. Trust but verify. Now, I want to give a caveat to this particular title name, because I believe that when we talk about this concept of trusting initially and then verifying later, we want to apply that to institutions that God has ordained. So institutions that God has ordained, we should have the idea or the mentality of trusting initially, but still verifying. Now, there are other institutions where we don't even want to give them the benefit of the doubt necessarily. There are certain places and certain groups and certain things that we would say, I'm not even going to just trust you on the onset. In fact, I'm already incredulous to what you're going to say. Okay? But they're typically not institutions that God has ordained. Whereas the institutions that God has ordained, we should approach them carefully and say, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to trust what you said. I'm willing to hear what you have to say. But at the end of the day, I want to go and make sure and check that information out for myself. And this is an important concept that we need to all apply. And I want to go to another verse. Go to Proverbs chapter 9. Go to Proverbs. I want to look at a few Proverbs, too, to help guide us. I would say, you know, the essence of my sermon's coming from this passage. But probably the most important verse that I'm going to share with you this evening, and the concept that I want you to really, really think about is this proverb here in chapter 9, verse 12. So if you learn nothing else, this is the most important thing that you need to learn, is this proverb. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 12. The Bible says, "If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it." The Bible is saying the information that you acquire is going to bless you. And by you refusing instruction, by you not learning things or not acquiring your own wisdom, you are going to bear the negative consequences of that action. Now, here's the thing. If I only ever trust people that are telling me the truth and that are wise, I could technically get away with never learning anything myself and still be fine. If I only ever listened to the right people and I only had wise counselors and I only ever followed their advice, technically I could get away with being ignorant. But the reality is, the world that we live in is not that case where you can just blindly check all the boxes of just like, I only ever listened to the right people and they only ever told me the truth. That's just not the world that we live in. And so when you decide to just refuse instruction or not learn on your own or not really care, you are going to suffer as a result of not checking things out yourself, not verifying information. And we live in a society today that wants you to, quote, just trust the experts in every category. And that is not a safe way to live your life. We need to gain our own level of wisdom, our own level of understanding, so that we're not just following bad advice, following a bad course of order. And so we need to make sure that we are checking information ourselves. And this is what will often be hurled at you when you even question anyone. Well, you're not an expert. Okay, sure. I don't need to be an expert to actually be able to check information myself. Because, you know, the Bible didn't say here, and when we're talking about the Bereans, it didn't say, well, you're not a pastor. How dare you look up at the Bible and read it for yourself and try to figure out if the preacher is telling you the truth? Do you have to be a pastor to be able to verify if the pastor's information is accurate or not? And the answer is no. Anyone can read the Bible for themselves and allow the Holy Ghost to interpret Scripture for them and to help them to verify that the information they heard is accurate. Do not blindly trust anyone. It doesn't matter how expert they are. It doesn't matter what position they have. We need to make sure that we're verifying all information, especially spiritual information. But even so, all areas of life, we need to make sure that we're verifying that information. Let me give you a specific example. Go to 1 Kings chapter 13. Go to 1 Kings chapter 13, and I want to show you from a spiritual perspective how this could be dangerous. And really what I want to do is I want to show you the spiritual connection first, and then we're going to expand it to all areas of life. But make sure that you don't just decide to be ignorant and just trust bad authorities. No, you get wisdom for yourself. Don't scoff at wisdom. Don't say like, I don't need to know that, I'll just trust the experts. Well, you're going to end up bearing the consequences of not being wise for yourself. And we live in a society that is very uneducated, very ignorant, doesn't know much anymore, and yet they're so prideful, they actually think that they're smart. It's a weird conundrum. It's like because you have a smartphone, you like think that you're smart. And it's like you don't even know how that's made. You don't even know how that works. If we put you on an island, you might not even know how to put a hammer together. And you somehow think you're smarter than the past generations because I have a smartphone. That does not make you intelligent. In fact, much of the technology we have dumbs you down and handicaps you and causes you to actually be less intelligent because you're just relying upon other tools to help you or to assist you. It actually makes you weak. It's like going to the gym and just only ever using the machines instead of the free weights. Well, you know, on the machines, you can lift sometimes a lot more than you can with the free weights. Especially like the leg machines or whatever. It's like you're sitting over doing like 600-700 pounds or something like that. And it's like, yeah, but if we put 600 pounds on you to try and lift, you would just be crushed. You would just die. Don't just trust the machine. There's in fact machines that'll help you do pull-ups. And pull-ups can be very difficult, but you could get this attitude of like, oh, pull-ups are easy. But then you try pull-ups without the machine, it's like, oh, you're weak. You can't really do any kind of heavy lifting. And when it comes to spiritual things, unfortunately, the vast majority of preachers in this world are liars. And nothing's new under the sun. Even people that are saved are lying today, and they're preaching things that are false. And it's not a new thing. Look at 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. It says, this is talking about an old prophet. And he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me, by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. So we pause for a second. Here's a young prophet. He's been told by God. And notice how he words it specifically in verse 17. It has been said to me by the word of the Lord. So he's saying, I know what the Bible says. The word of God is telling me not to do this. Shouldn't it just be case closed at that point? It should be. But what happens here in verse number 18? He said to him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And the angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. Oh man, no one would ever lie. A pastor would never lie. A preacher would never lie. No, he did lie to him. He lied to him right to his face, and he just contradicted the word of God, and just for selfish gain. This guy just wanted to hang out with him or hear about him, or possibly he even realized he'd be destroyed, and so he lies unto this young man. And you know what? There's a lot of people going to churches today where the old man, the old prophet, is lying to them. Yeah. About what? How about Zionism? Yeah. Yeah. Lying to them about Zionism. Yeah. It's like, no. That guy with the funny hat who's in charge of all the smut and the interest and just everything that's destroying your country, we're supposed to love and bless him.
What? Where does it say that? An angel came and told me. Well, that was not an angel. That was a devil. Okay, that was the Satan himself that came and told you that. Okay, and there's so many people that are being lied to about the pre-trib rapture. Getting up and just lying about that. Or, here's what a lot of old prophets are doing. They're getting up and they're saying the new IFB is hateful. You don't want to be a part of that group. You don't want to get mixed up with those individuals. Those people are so mean and they're so hateful. You know what's hateful? Lying to people. That's what's hateful. Not getting up and preaching the hard truths of the Bible. And there's so many people that they're trusting the old prophet instead of verifying. This guy, he says rightly, hey, this is what the Bible says. But then the old prophet tells him something different. So what should he have done? He should have been a Berean and said, well, I'm going to go back to the Word of God, and sorry, you're wrong. But what does the Bible say that he does in verse 19? So he went back with them and did eat bread in his house and drink water. Well, you got to admit, at least it was a compelling lie. Because this guy's probably hungry, he's probably thirsty, he wants to believe it's true. So he just goes for it. He likes it. It's more comfortable. It's kind of like the pre-trib rapture, isn't it? Like if we had to pick like which doctrine we would prefer, I think that the pre-trib sounds pretty good. I mean, it's like, hey, you're going to be slaughtered and brutally persecuted to death, or you just get out of here scot-free and nothing bad's ever going to happen. You're like, that one. You know, that sounds great. It's like, hey, you're going to have to keep walking, no food, no drink. It's going to be rough, but you live. Or, hey, you can just come home and have a party. It's like, let's pick the party option. Like, yeah. And that's, of course, what happens typically is lies are more appealing than the truth in our flesh and our mind. And so they just want to appeal to that. Well, we just love everybody. We can't hate anyone. We can't think anything negative. We don't want to have any bad thoughts. Well, that might sound cool. It might sound good, but that's just not reality. Because there are some people that are just really bad. And because there's some people that are really bad, you just can't just blindly say, I just love everyone. I want to do good unto everyone, no matter what. Go over to Matthew chapter 5. Let me prove to you how this extends beyond just this one guy. Because you could say, well, that was just one guy. Yeah, there's one preacher that lied, but the vast majority aren't going to lie. Okay, well, what Bible are you reading? And in fact, the Bible says in 1 John chapter number 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. The Bible says many. And in fact, typically when you go through the Bible, there's so many more prophets of Baal and liars than there ever is the man of God that's willing to preach the truth. It's usually in sharp contrast the amount of liars to people that will preach the truth. It's probably almost 100 to 1, 400 to 1, even 1,000 to 1 at different times throughout history. Okay, so I wouldn't expect it to be much different than today, that 1,000 of the preachers out there are going to probably lie to you as opposed to one that'll just tell you the uncomfortable truths of the Bible. There's only one Micaiah. There's one man that never prophesies good, okay? And his name's Micaiah. But do you think that's honestly even true? It's not true that Micaiah only preaches negative. He only preaches negative towards Ahab. So it's like, well, there's this one preacher, he never prophesies good of sodomites. Yeah, because they're a sodomite. Yeah. But that doesn't mean I don't preach loving things. In fact, there was an atheist I did an interview with, and he admitted, yeah, you do preach other things and nice things and kind things. He's like, I'm just not interested in that. Because it doesn't sell his column or whatever, right? It doesn't get him views. He just has to cherry pick the handful of negative things and then magnify them and blow them out of proportion and act like, you're just this hate preacher. I asked him, I said, what makes me a hate preacher? And he's like, well, you focus on, you know, some of these negative things. And so I was like, okay, well, what about it? You posting on Twitter a negative post every single time? He's like, yeah, I mean, every single one of my posts is negative. I was like, does that make you a hate podcaster? Does that make you a hateful Twitter personality? I mean, like, apply your own logic, buddy. And, of course, these people that are, well, we don't hate anybody, but they hate the new IFB. Yeah. They hate anti-Zionists. Yeah. Everybody hates somebody, okay? Just stop enjoying the brainwashing of our society that claims that they love everyone. No one loves everyone. It's not even close. Yeah. If Jesus doesn't love everyone, well, you know, how are you going to love everyone? Now, he did do an act that showed his love towards everyone. But you know what? If you read the most famous verse in the Bible, it says, "For God so loved," as a past tense. Yeah. Did you notice that? It's not saying he's actively loving everyone. "For God so loved everyone." How? By sending Jesus to die. But he's not actively loving sodomite, pedophile, serial-killing adulterers. That would be weird. You know, he hates those people. Now, Matthew chapter 5, I want to show you a verse here in verse 19 about the concept we've been talking about, which is the idea of trusting and verifying. Why? Because people lie. Look what it says in verse 19. "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Here's an example of the Bible warning you about people that are going to teach you to break God's commandments. They're going to break God's commandments, and they're going to teach you to break God's commandments. So what we want to do from a spiritual context is we want to make sure that we're trusting, we're ready to receive the word with all readiness of mind, but that we're going to search the scriptures daily whether those things are so. Hey, I don't mind visiting another Baptist church and listening to a preacher preach. And in fact, I'm ready to learn something new. We should all have an attitude of, hey, I'm ready to learn the Bible. I'm ready to hear some wisdom. Whatever you got, put it on the table and I'll eat it. But you know what? There's some things that I'm going to check before I eat it. Right? Is there beans in that chili? Is this got curry in it? You know, there's going to be things that I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to trust, but I'm going to verify. And at the end of the day, if it doesn't meet the requirements of the scripture, well, I'm just not going to eat that. I'm just going to reject that. That's not something I want. Well, how dare you? Do you have a seminary degree? Are you an expert on doctrinal matters? Are you a pastor? It doesn't matter. I don't care if you're a 5-year-old child. You trust, but verify. You trust. Now, there's other institutions that God have given us beyond just simply pastors and teachers that are important to trust but verify. One would be, additionally, would be a parent. Now, I want to go to a few more places in Scripture. Go back to 1 Kings, actually. I want to go to another story here. But, of course, when it comes to parents, we should have the same attitude as we would with a biblical pastor, is that we want to give them the benefit of the doubt always. We want to just trust our parents. We want to assume that they're always going to tell us the right thing. But you know what? Even when it comes to your own parents, you have to trust but verify. You have to make sure that even what they're saying is right. And there's this attitude, though, where you could have the opposite side of just saying, I don't want to trust anything, or I don't want to trust anybody. That's a bad approach. We want to be careful and think about who we're trusting and why we're trusting them, and we want to verify the information. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 12, we have a young king coming into power, and he's been given conflicting opinions. Now, it says in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 2, it's talking about Rehoboam, and it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now, therefore, make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke, which he put upon us, lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon, his father, while he yet lived, and said, How do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. Verse 8 is a key. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. So, when we talk about this concept, not everybody is on the same playing level as far as who you should trust. Of course, when we talk about trusting but verifying, if it's a woman pastor, I'm never going to trust her opinion, ever. Like, it doesn't matter what she says. If it's a sodomite, I'm never going to trust their opinion. Okay? If it's a practicer of Judaism, never going to trust their opinion, okay? Their nose has grown to tell me that they're a liar, okay? Have you ever seen Pinocchio? He was trying to tell you something. The reason why they have a big nose is because they're a liar. Here you sound anti-Semitic. It's in the movie, okay, folks? Walt Disney made it, all right? But when it comes to this specific situation, here's a group of people that were wise old counselors that counseled for the father, which is Solomon. Now, is Solomon pretty smart? Like, was Solomon like a decently wise king? Did he make some good decisions? How about the guys that were giving him counsel? I mean, wouldn't you have to say they have some pretty good street cred? The old men that were the counselors with Solomon? It's like, this seems like a pretty good group to get some advice from. But then rather, he just goes to a bunch of bozos that really haven't done anything, have no street cred whatsoever, and he just accepts these guys' opinion. He forsakes the old council and then just brings in this new council that has no portfolio, no resume, no expertise, nothing they can point to, but hey, they grew up with him. They're his buddy, they're his pal, they're his friend. And, you know, we want to be careful about that. Of course, at the end of the day, he should verify all information. He should even verify the old men. He should verify by going to the Word of God. But we should also accept the reality that not everybody is the same trustworthiness. Okay? These old men, it would make way more sense to hearken unto them, even if we were just going to blindly trust somebody. It's not even making sense to blindly trust the young guys. But of course, we shouldn't even do that. We should consult the Word of God. And you know what the Bible says? A soft answer turneth away wrath. So maybe he should have consulted that verse in the Bible. There would probably have been some other verses that he could have consulted and thought about that would have helped him, aid him in making this decision and making the wise decision. But what does he do? He forsakes the counsel of the old men. Verse 9, and he said to them, what counsel give ye? They may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter. And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it light unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. Now they're trash talking. You're going to trash talk people. And now, whereas my father laid you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. This is like a bunch of young punks that are just like blowing off their mouth. I mean, this, you should be able to see through this. Like, this is just such bad advice. But you know what? Rehoboam doesn't verify the information of either, and he trusts the wrong sources. He goes with them, and he loses 10 of the tribes of Israel in this specific moment, okay? Now, I'm just giving you just kind of a few samples here. And really, I just want to talk about a few different situations. Go over to Psalm chapter 119. I'll show you another verse here. But you know, we need to make sure that we're thinking about who we're relying upon. This is a person that is expert, has information. And really, when it comes to testing any information, I think what is typically the best situation is let's hear both sides. Let's hear what the old men have to say that were with Solomon that are wise. All right, I'll hear you guys out, and then we're also going to verify with the Word of God. And I think when you hear both sides, give them both a fair chance, and you verify with the Word of God, you're going to see that the Bible is a light into your path and a lamp into your feet, that you're going to be able to make wise decisions. You're going to be able to be well set in life. And even you can potentially attain to a higher level of understanding than even all of those people that gave you wisdom. Psalm 119 says in verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Now that on the surface almost sounds a little bit arrogant, doesn't it? But why in the world could someone say such a thing? For thy testimonies are my meditation. This book can technically make you smarter than anybody if you would study it. But the reason why he is smarter is not because there's something special about him, but rather he devoted himself to this book. And the more you devote yourself to this book, the more that you're going to actually have better wisdom and understanding than anybody out there, than all the teachers. God gave Solomon so much wisdom, he was smarter than every man that ever lived at that time. We look at Daniel and his three companions, they were 10 times better than all of the men that had the wisdom of the Chaldeans. Consistently through the Bible, the men that study the Bible and follow God's commandments are going to have so much more wisdom and understanding of this world than the unsaved. So we need to be careful that we don't get this attitude of this idea of saying, well, I'm not an expert in this area, therefore, I'm just going to blindly trust other people. What should rather be our attitude is, you know what? I'm going to do my own research, and I'm going to study things, and I'm going to look to the Word of God, and I'm going to seek out wisdom so that I don't just become a scorner and just say, well, nuts to the, I can't know this topic, whatever. I'm just going to trust this guy. I'm just going to go with the young men. I'm just going to go with whoever. Like, how do you know you're going to ever make the right decision? Well, I don't want to learn. I don't like reading. I don't like books. I'm not an expert. And you're basically just a scorner. Well, you're going to alone bear that. You're going to bear the ramifications of just deciding to be stupid on purpose. And there's so many people that just choose to be ignorant, not learn, not be a lifelong education learner, and they just basically are going to destroy themselves. The Bible says, for my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And one of the biggest problems in America today is just simply our country is stupid. It's stupid. And it's sad because the enemy knows it. Read what they say about us. Read what the protocols of the elders of Zion say about us. They laugh at us. They laugh and they say, they're just so stupid. They're just consumed on alcohol and fornication, and we can just dominate them. We can even propose to them dumb ideas and they'll believe them. They'll say, we'll just propose to them Marxism and feminism and Nietzscheism and every ism you can think of, and they'll just soak it up because they're pseudo-intellectuals and they scorn the Word of God, and they're going to bear with wicked, evil, idiotic concepts and ideas. Yeah. And we need to make sure that we as God's people don't just say, well, you know what? I'm not a doctor, so I'm just going to trust everything that doctors say. I don't believe that. I don't agree with that. Now, here's the thing. When it comes to parents, I want to give a few positions where I think we should try to just say, you know what? We're going to respect their opinion and give them the benefit of the doubt, but we're going to still always verify. Your parents, you know, you should give them. Your pastor, you know, you should give your pastor the benefit of the doubt. If you can't give your pastor the benefit of the doubt, go to a different church. Please go to a church where you can at least give your pastor the benefit of the doubt. I didn't say blindly trust. We're always verifying. But at least go somewhere where you feel like, I feel like this guy knows the Bible well and can give me some good counsel. Now, I would also say, and you're going to scoff at first, but the government, okay? But hear me out, because when I say government, what I'm meaning is the legitimate parts of government that were ordained by God, like criminal punishment, the criminal justice system, and law enforcement. But, you know, our government is so, you know, overstretching its boundaries into things like there's all these extra departments and organizations and groups that were not ordained by God. And you know what? Most of them are some of the worst organizations ever, okay? So, of course, the legitimate aspects of government that God has ordained, we should trust, but verify. We should trust them, give them the benefit of the doubt, but verify. The law enforcement, we should give cops the benefit of the doubt, but then we should still verify the information that they have. Now, I have other groups down that I do not, I want to mention one other, doctors. Now, this is another big caveat. If I get my hand blown off and I run to the emergency room, I'm going to give that emergency room operator the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to trust but verify. So when there's an emergency situation, when we talk about emergency room, ambulance care, these type of people that are on the front lines, yeah, I am going to blindly trust them and then verify. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and the onset because, you know what? I don't have a lot of time when my hand's been blown off to just try to figure out what's going on. If they're like, hey, we're going to just slap this on and stitch it and put a splint or do whatever, I'm just going to be like, go for it. I'm not going to be like, I'm so anti-doctor. Let me figure this out while I bleed out, literally. Okay. So I think that there are some institutions, some positions that we have, and God ordained certain doctors. Of course, when people had leprosy or had different ailments, they were supposed to go to the physician, which was of the Levites, and they were supposed to check those things, and they were supposed to what? Give them the benefit of the doubt, but of course, we always want to verify. Now, within these same institutions and some other ones, I think that I would already be skeptical, like lawyers, okay? That is not a God-ordained position. Show me in the Bible where God says, thou shalt have lawyers. Okay, it doesn't even really make sense. We don't see anybody having lawyers. Lawyers is just a way to take more money from criminals and from even the righteous. And within doctors, there's a lot of doctors that I do not just trust, especially when it's not an immediate serious issue. There's a lot of people, specifically pediatricians, in my mind, are some of the most least trustworthy individuals. And I say that because there's so many babies being born in our church. Please, please do not blindly trust pediatricians. Please, please verify. And I'm not going to say that all pediatricians are bad, but it's the 99% making the 1% look bad, folks, okay? The vast majority of pediatricians make money on vaccinations, and they, in my opinion, do not have a high view of the Hippocratic Oath. I believe that many of them are just simply there to collect a paycheck. A lot of them are very bad individuals. Okay, that's my personal opinion. You can take that for whatever it's worth. But hey, I personally injured my ankle not that long ago. Maybe it was in like the fall of last year. Okay, and it was getting better. I thought maybe a little bit, but it still hurt, and I was afraid of like doing worse permanent damage. So I just decided I'll just go see a doctor and just let them x-ray my ankle just to give me an idea. And the person is just like, oh, you definitely need surgery. And I was like, okay, well, that's weird. And so I decided to go and get a second opinion. So I went to another surgeon, definitely need surgery. So I'm like, okay. So then I went to I talked to a third doctor that's like more a person that we know, but he's not necessarily an expert in that area. And he was kind of like, yeah, it seems like that's the right move, but you know, you can do whatever you want. And I did talk to another doctor eventually that was not pro-surgery, and he was not very authoritative. He was just giving me alternative views or whatever. But at the end of the day, I just personally decided to research it. I looked up as many articles as I could from well-established, scientific, published research information. And here's the thing. Somebody would say like, oh, you're asking Satan, you know, if he lied or not. But the reality is, a lot of times when you actually read the medical journal entries, they don't lie in those. They just do research and then just provide you the results. And I just read it. And when you read it, it's just like, wow, it's crazy how so many people are so pro-surgery in my situation if you just read what the medical journals even say. Because you'd read the medical journals and they say, there is no evidence to suggest that those who get surgery in this case have better outcomes. It was just like over and over, you're just reading, it's like, there's no research done that proves this. There's no one, like they would say, this is the conclusion of their particular abstract. And I'm just saying like, wow, that's kind of strange. Then I also thought about the fact like, hey, my ankle doesn't have a bunch of screws holding bones together. That's not natural. It just didn't, and in fact, that's not even how God created their bones to even work. So I just decided, you know, this doesn't really make sense. I don't really see the logic in this. And I just didn't go with it. And let me just say this. I'm so glad I didn't get surgery. Like, I'm not going to say that I'm 100% because I have no idea what that even means. But I'm fully functional and can do everything. And honestly, from the opinion of many of these doctors, it was like, you're not going to walk, you're going to have arthritis for the rest of your life, you're going to have all these serious issues, like really just scaring you, just a lot of fear-mongering. And here's the thing that I understood. If I get surgery, there's no way to ever know if I made the right decision. There's literally no way, because there's no going back. And I just, it really didn't sit well with me when I thought, these people have no accountability, there's no way to know, and they're going to line their pockets. I mean, they're going to get $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 for surgery. And in fact, many times when you get surgeries on your legs, your knees, your ankles, you're a lifetime patient. You're going to go back and back and back. And so here's the thing. If I just say, you know what? I don't want to look this up. I don't need to know. I'm just going to trust the experts. I could have just been a lifelong surgery patient. And just as the Bible says, because I've scorned that, I'm going to alone bear it. Because here's the thing, if I get surgery, that doesn't affect you, that affects me, right? It affects my walking, it affects my life, it affects my what's going to happen. And, you know, soul winning is important to me. Being able to go out there and walk and to be able to move. I think being athletic is important just because it helps me have more longevity in life and to be able to do things longer in life. So, I mean, this is a big, important decision. I'm going to verify that information. And I'm not going to, well, you're not a doctor, Pastor Shelley. I'm not. Are you giving medical advice? No. Don't sue me, okay? And I'm not saying that all surgery is bad. If my hand was blown off and I go to the emergency room, I'm going to be like, sew it back on there. Let's see if it works, okay? You know? I mean, I'm not against all surgery. There's sometimes, I mean, you get shot, you got something cut off or bleeding or hanging on. I mean, there are times for legitimate surgeries. There's time for legitimate medical intervention. But you know what I just don't want to do? I don't want to just blindly trust. But I also don't want to go to the other extreme and just say, I will never let a doctor even look at me or touch them. They're all bad. They're all evil. There's going to be a healthy balance. And how do you make those decisions? Well, get some wisdom. Research things, study, look up things. But also, you know what I don't want to do when it comes to medical information? I don't want to just ignore all the old men that have been doing this for their entire career, have been working with Solomon, have done legitimate research and study, and say, I don't care what their counsel is. Here's my buddy on YouTube that made this weird video saying, if you have a heart attack, put garlic under the tongue or put cayenne pepper in their eyes or something. You think I'm joking. There are just some weird, weird medical views out there. And it's so funny to me. It's like they think that the medical industry is corrupt and they're going to lie to you. But this random weirdo on YouTube is trustworthy? Like, that's insane. You know, when it came to my specific situation, I went and read the medical journals. And they were saying there's no evidence to suggest this necessarily. I wasn't going to some random YouTube prophet and saying, please tell me how to live my life. You would be way better off just saying everything on YouTube is fake more than just discrediting all the organizations that exist in this world. YouTube is filled with lies and weirdos and freaks. Be careful who you're listening to. We want to be careful and think about what does this person have to gain? I mean, think about a doctor who spent his whole life going to medical school, probably racking up $500,000 in debt, put 8-10 years in medical school, has a practice, has worked really hard. I mean, what are the ramifications if he lies in a medical journal article? As opposed to this guy that lives in his mom's basement uploading YouTube videos. What does he have to lose if he lies to you or gives you bad advice medically? How many people are going to be able to sue him if he gives you bad medical advice and you literally die or a family member dies? Whereas that doctor's going to be sued, have malpractice issues, going to have bad reviews, people could come after him, people are going to be mad. I mean, there's at least some level of accountability for that individual. You know what? I'm going to think that's more trustworthy than this random weirdo on the internet. Okay? Now, at the same time, does that mean that I don't think that there's a lot of fraud in the medical industry? There is, of course. The love of money is the root of all evil, folks. And let's explain something. The medical industry has a lot of money in it. But at the end of the day, I don't want to have this attitude of just blindly trusting or just going, blindly trusting anybody, especially YouTube prophets. Okay, let's be careful who we are trusting. Go, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 14. Go to Proverbs chapter 14. When it comes to education, I do not blindly trust anyone. Education, it is an important thing for you to really think about what sources you're getting information from and to verify all of it. When it comes to history, oh man. History is just is a maze of information, and there's so much bad information, especially as of late. Please, please be careful when it comes to history. All kinds of subjects. We need to make sure that we're really thinking about that and not just blindly trusting the public school or blindly trusting the colleges today. Those are institutions that I think are filled with a lot of lies, a lot of propaganda, a lot of false information. you know, hopefully your educator is your parent, because then we can go back to saying, okay, I can trust that educator. But you know what? Even parents, I'm afraid that there's some bad parental educators out there, because they're teaching them things that are just bizarre, like weird conspiracy theories and just crazy things. I mean, if you're a parent out there, please invest in a curriculum that you did not create. And hey, me and my wife, we use an Abeka program and we think it's great. But at the same time, some of the information in there is weird. I mean, you go through a list of all the presidents and it's like, oh, let's learn about Obama now. Let's learn about George Bush. And it's just like, it's all positive. And it's just like, all right, now that's the official story. Now, okay, we'll give you some alternative views. But you know what? I want them to still learn the official story. I still want them to learn like all the different things that are out there. I want to get them a proper education and then balance that with the Bible and with alternative views. But I definitely don't want them to be ignorant of mainstream views or what the world teaches. Like, I'm afraid of flat earthers never educating their children on what the sphere is. It's out there. And you know what? Church sometimes makes those people normal, okay? Hopefully we could save their children from that disaster, but there's a problem out there that we have today where people are just rejecting all the government, but then they apply this proverb to everything else. Proverbs 14, verse 15, the Bible says, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." Notice again, hey, we shouldn't just blindly trust things. We should verify them. And it's weird how people are so skeptical of our government. They're so skeptical of education. They're so skeptical of doctors. But then they literally believe everything on the internet. And I'm just like, let's apply your same logic to every area of life. It's fine to be skeptical. It's fine to prove things. It's fine to test things. But boy, do not just blindly believe stuff on the internet. Right. And it's funny to me how people think that that's literally research. Yeah. If watching a YouTube video to you is research, you are very ignorant. Amen. Reading books, reading primary sources, original documents, that is educating. That is research. If you haven't done any of that, you have not researched any topic that we're talking about. If you haven't looked at both sides thoroughly, you have not researched the topic. And yet, for some reason, our world is just filled with just weird information and all kinds of conspiracies. And so I actually typed in the internet yesterday, or I was looking up like top conspiracy theories or what conspiracy theories are out there or whatever. Because, you know, obviously a church like ours sometimes attracts people who like certain conspiracy theories. And look, is there some truth in conspiracy theories? Absolutely. It's funny because this article said, yes, some conspiracy theories are true. And, you know, they, of course, don't appeal to anything that I would necessarily subscribe to. But they said the Watergate scandal. That's an example of a conspiracy that came true. Okay. Which I'm actually incredulous of that one. I don't know if that was all legit. Okay. But that's a different topic. They give you a list of all these things. The first one they have, they say, is 9/11. And I'm just thinking like, well, that's pretty legit conspiracy theory. Yeah, Building 7 fell in 7 seconds flat. That seems suspicious. Yeah. There's a lot of really obviously suspicious things about 9/11. But what's so funny is how you read this thing and it's like, they bring up 9/11, you're just thinking like, yeah. But then they just snow you or put you all these weird things in the mix with that too. Okay, like nukes don't exist. I'm just like, what? And I didn't even believe these people were real, but they're real, okay? And I saw this video. It was a Joe Rogan podcast. And this guy is coming on there trying to prove how nukes don't exist. And basically the whole argument is surrounded around the idea of, well, watch this nuclear explosion. How come everything blew up but the camera? And they just keep showing you. It's just like, oh, see this other one? See, wouldn't you think that the camera would be destroyed? I mean, how are all these buildings being destroyed and the camera's not destroyed? And what was so funny to me is like the first comment on this thread, the absolute first one, was a whole article explaining how when they did nuclear explosions, they put cameras underground and used a series of mirrors to basically use it as a periscope to be able to see the explosion. I was like, wow, that took me 5 seconds to prove you wrong. Like 5 seconds. And it's like, these people are like, I've researched it. Nukes aren't real because cameras. And I'm like, what? But you know, that's where we find the simple that believeth every word. Well, you're not an expert. How do you know? I don't need to be an expert in everything to form sound opinions, to form the right opinion about certain things. And you watching a YouTube video are definitely not an expert. Okay. Here's some other ones that they put in there. The Princess Diana death, which I'm like, I don't know. It kind of seemed weird. Then they put flat earth. I'm like, yeah, let's compare 9/11 and some of these other things with flat earth. You know why the flat earth is so well like established and publicized? It's just to discredit conspiracy theories, yeah, folks. It's all it is. It's just, it's probably partly like atheists just trying to make fun of Christians. Because most of the Christians that are into that aren't even saved anyways. They're weirdos. Here's a conspiracy theory. Subliminal messaging and advertising. It's like, how is that a conspiracy theory? I thought that was an established fact. I thought that's what they all did. Like, what do you mean? This is conspiracy theory. We're supposed to believe that on the same par is subliminal messaging and advertising and flat earth. Like, I'm supposed to believe that these are the same. No, subliminal messaging is well established, and they'll even admit it. It's not even on the same planet, because your planet is flat, right? They said in this article, Paul McCarthy's death. I have no idea. I have no opinion. JFK. Well, here's the thing. They've almost like admitted this openly by releasing documentation as of late about the CIA's involvement with this. Well, it's a conspiracy theory. The protocols of the Elders of Zion is a fraud. Well, that's funny because literally everything they said is just true. Yeah. So it's funny how someone fraudulently made a document that's true. Yeah. I mean, let's just say it is a fraud. Why does it matter? Because it's true. Just read it. It'll really shock you. Yeah. They also put in here the moon landing being fake. They put, here's one that I recently have heard about, and I just don't even understand it. But some people believe that there's buildings in America that are 1,000 years old. Okay. Like certain buildings in America were built 1,000 years ago, and they're still like here, like there was this secret technology and these advanced civilizations and they built, like, I don't know which specific buildings, but they're just saying, like, you know, the White House used to be here 1,000 years ago. What? I don't even get it. I don't even understand. People think that space is fake. They also put the Satanic Panic, which was a supposed conspiracy theory from the 80s and the 90s or something. And here's what the Satanic Panic was, is they said there's a group of people that are Satan worshipers in our country, and they're engaged in human trafficking and killing children and doing, you know, explicit acts with them. But it's all fake. Oh, I'm sure that that's fake. I'm sure that that's not happening. I like how they lump that in with the fact that buildings have been here for 1,000 years in America. Like, of course, there have been some structures that were built thousands of years ago in other parts of the world. But no, America was a bunch of naked Indians running around stabbing each other, okay? There wasn't much going on, folks, okay? Yeah. And then they also have Obama's birth. And then right after that, reptilians run the U.S. government. Okay. The sketchy past of Obama and his white Jewish mother with some random black guy, it's like there was some shady stuff. And his Hawaii birth certificate, some shady stuff. But now I'm supposed to equate that idea to reptilians controlling the U.S. government. Why do these weird things, why are they out there? It's to try and cause confusion. Yeah. It's to try and discredit. Because if all I read were just, hey, 9/11, subliminal messaging and ads, JFK, they're Satanists, and Obama's birth seems illegitimate, people would be like, all that seems kind of legit. Yeah. But then you mix in, nukes don't exist, the earth's flat, and here's another one they had on the list. Birds aren't real. They're all secret drones from the government. Oh! And you think, we laugh. But it's like, when you go down this rabbit trail of just, oh, everything on the internet's real, and oh, I watched this documentary. That's where it leads you, folks. It even gets worse than that, because Tyler Doka has tried to convince people that all of history is completely fake and that everything about Jesus is fake and none of that ever happened. There was no Roman Empire. There's none of that history is even real, and that he's Jesus. That's where it leads you to. And it's a strong delusion. It's a punishment from God for being stupid. And you know what? If you just choose to be stupid, God may make fun of you by getting to a point where you say birds aren't even real. How would you even engage with conversation? Imagine you go to the family reunion and one of your family members says, I don't think birds are real. I can't even say it with a straight face. It's like, what? Like, you would be like, this person's a highly dangerous individual. And honestly, I would say that most of these weird things, like the nukes don't exist and the flat earth, moon landing, there's almost a direct correlation to the fact that they smoke marijuana. Yeah.
Yes.
And when you do hallucinogenic drugs, the sky's the limit. You might think like, oh, there's no consequence to smoking pot. Oh, there is a consequence to smoking pot, my friend. You might become the dumbest person on the planet. And they have it in the TV shows. The TV shows are making fun of how you're dumb because you smoke pot. But it's like literal. People are just frying their brains on drugs and just getting so dumb and so foolish. And the Bible warns about countries and nations being destroyed because they're just so stupid. And what I'm trying to encourage you to do is not say, let's just trust the experts. No, no, no. Let's verify the information. Let's get wisdom for ourselves. Let's research. Let's look this stuff up. Let's see what they're saying if it matches reality. I don't care if they're a lawyer, a doctor. I mean, there's so many professions that I'm sorry, the experts are fakes and frauds anyways, folks. They don't even know what they're doing. They're faking it. You know, we need to make sure that we're checking the information ourselves. They put in this also that there was a Roswell crash where they caught aliens. They also have one about mermaids being real. Like there's all like this is being mixed in with the 9/11, all the other stuff, and people are like, "Oh man, well how come they put a banner on YouTube about how the Earth's not flat?" You know, but they put banners on all kinds of other stuff like birds being real. How far are you going to take that stupid banner, that Wikipedia banner? Here's another one. The Denver airport is a hub for the Illuminati. I mean, it's just, and then they, this is the, another one they put there. COVID and 5G. But they put them together as one. So it's like, if you doubt any of the narrative around COVID, you're now also a denier of the 5G conspiracy or something. Because they say like COVID wasn't a real virus. Like people weren't getting sick with a variation of the flu, like a beefed up gain of function version of the flu by Fauci and Wuhan. That wasn't it. It's 5G was getting people magically sick, and it's the 5G tower. So people were literally, there were people literally going up and chopping off the tops of 5G towers. I'm not joking. Like, and they're doing like their country service because they're a patriot. You know, because they're getting rid of COVID, you know, like Kenneth Copeland blew it away or whatever. I'm just, you know, there's so much weird stuff. Here's another one. The Earth is hollow. And then this is what they said. There's a super sub race that's living down there that has secret technology. Well, there is a bunch of people down there, but they're not living. They're dead. And you know what? They didn't decide to get any wisdom. They didn't decide to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved. And everything we need to do is we need to trust but verify. Hey, there's God-ordained institutions. I'm going to trust my pastor. I'm going to trust my parents. I'm going to trust, you know, certain institutions that God set up. But at the end of the day, we need to verify all of them. We need to check our pastor. We need to check our parents. We need to check law enforcement. We need to check the government. We need to check doctors. But please, please do not say, I watched a YouTube video. Look, if you want to watch stuff and learn a little bit, okay, maybe it piques your interest, but then verify. You know, I've seen documentaries that were interesting. I saw one about how the Titanic may have been a ploy to kill all of the rich men in the world so they could introduce the Fed. And you know what I did after that? I said, okay, let's look up and see when Titanic was crashed. When did the Fed start? Did all the rich people that they said died, did they really die on it? Did, Rockefeller own the Titanic? And it's like, okay, Rockefeller owned the Titanic. Rockefeller decided to not get on the boat last minute. Rockefeller invited a bunch of rich people that were against the Federal Reserve on the boat. They all died on the boat. The Federal Reserve came out the next year. I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. There was an insurance policy taken out on the Titanic that was really expensive. They had another boat called the Olympic that was damaged and possibly going to never be sailed again. There's no incentive to possibly accidentally wreck the Olympic and call it the Titanic. That looked the exact same. But, I mean, you know, I was like, that's interesting. Yeah. It's like, hey, nukes aren't real because of cameras. 5 seconds later, it's like, hey, here's how they did the cameras. It's like, oh, well, that wasn't real. That wasn't legit. I guess, oh, let's listen to Flat Earther, who said that American soldiers snuck into Hiroshima and set up gas barrels everywhere to trick people into thinking that was a nuclear explosion. Let's not confer with all the hundreds of thousands of Japanese people that suffered radiation poisoning or like literally experienced it. Let's listen to this Flat Earther explain how barrels were snuck in by American soldiers or something into the Japanese. I'm sorry, the stupidity of our country is just, it's really causing me a problem. Because I'm just so just infuriated. And what's the problem? People won't learn. If you want to learn, read a book. Read a primary source. Do some real investigation. Look at both sides of the argument. But there's just so many people out there, they think they're so smart because they watched a video. Please, please read a book. Please actually do some real research. Consider who you're trusting and their opinions here. And these are real decisions. People are really making life-altering decisions when they go to the doctor, when they go to a lawyer, when they go to church, when they go to these institutions. And the reason why our country is being destroyed is because people are blindly trusting the wrong people. And they're stupid. They're foolish. They're making bad decisions. And you know what? I believe that God is punishing our country with more stupidity. People are like, we're going to have flying cars by 2050. And it's like, we're seeing flat earth debates and whether birds are real. That's a bad sign for our culture. That's showing like how bad our culture is when that's the things that we're arguing about, when that's the things that we have to convince people of, when you have to tell them these really basic truths. And you can tell that the public education system has failed completely because no one even understands why the earth is a sphere or any of the reasons why we proved that. I mean, you would think like, hey, you're going to public school. Like, couldn't they teach you like all the reasons why we believe all the things that we believe? But you know what? You go to public school and you learn about nothing. You learn about how to sneak marijuana into brownies. That was when I was in school. I can't even know what's going on nowadays. Or what's that, you know. You kids that are homeschooled, you should give your parents a big hug and say thank you. Because it's a jungle out there. And you know, trust your parents, but at the same time, verify. And the only thing that we can really trust is this book. I can say it over and over, but it's real. And if you want to actually make good decisions in your life, you have to read this for yourself. I can't help you make the right decisions. Your parents can't help you make all the right decisions. You have to decide. But you know what? If you scorn, oh, he's just a goody two-shoes. Read the Bible. Yo, if you scorn, well, thou alone shalt bear it. You're going to bear your own stupidity and your own bad decision-making. And sometimes you make decisions that you have to live with for the rest of your life. Hey, when your ankle's broken, you have to make a decision of how am I going to remedy this? And it's going to potentially alter the rest of my life. When you have a child that's born and that pediatrician's telling you, hey, let's stab it with 32 different doses of all these various poisons, That could potentially alter your child's life forever. These are major decisions that we're making. You know, you go to a church and you listen to a pastor preach, he could cause you to make a really good or a really bad decision that could alter your life forever. Please, please get some real education and study for yourself and verify the information. Hey, those that were in Thessalonica were more noble in Berea. Those in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica because, you know what? They searched the scriptures whether those things were so. Let us be a people that says, hey, I like what you said. Let me check it out. And how did they check it out? They read. In order to search the scriptures, you have to read. It wasn't like, let me watch a YouTube video and see if that's right. Let me watch a TikTok short. No. Let me read. Read. Readers are learners. Learners are educators. Educators rule the world. The ignorant are going to always be a victim of the readers and the learners. If you say, I want to get ahead in life, you better start reading now. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for the Bible and giving us all the wisdom we could ever hope for. I pray that we wouldn't have a scornful heart and attitude, but rather we would accept the fact that we need to learn and we need to read for ourselves. And I pray that you would help us to put more reliance and trust into the right institutions and the right people, but at the end of the day that we would verify all that information with the Word of God. Thank you for giving us a compass. Thanks for giving us a light. Thanks for giving us a ruler. Thanks for giving us something to measure everything by. I pray that we'd actually put our heart and mind into that and we wouldn't lean onto our own understanding, our own wisdom, or online or the internet, but rather we would trust the Word of God with all our heart. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
All right, for our last song, let's go to 390, Have I Done My Best for Jesus? 390, Have I Done My Best for Jesus? Song 390.
Best for Jesus when He
done my best for Jesus. When he has done so much for me.
Thank you all for coming. God bless. You are dismissed.